every day. It's amazing how our days can go by and we leave out a lot of the praise that should be coming forth from us and replace it with other things. Today's message is entitled Dual Citizenship. We're going to look today at our citizenship and who we are. With a dual citizenship, all Christians enter into this. They have a place of dual citizenship. They belong in two places at the same time. And that's what we have when we're a citizen of one place and a citizen of another. And so as Christians, we find that we're citizens of heaven and we're traveling through this earth. And we are citizens of earth on our way to heaven. So we're going to look at three questions today about this dual citizenship. What are our responsibilities as citizens of heaven? What are our responsibilities as citizens of earth? And what do we do when these responsibilities clash? And we'll see that they sometimes will. Let's go again to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for the time that you've given to us. And Lord, may your word go forth and bring honor and praise to you today. May it guide us and direct us and teach us. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. First one, what is our responsibility then as citizens of heaven? Where does it come from? Where does it say that we are? Let's start in Philippians chapter 3, the last two verses, 20 and 21. And the Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, when we look at this passage and we look at that, how do we get our citizenship in heaven? Well, it has to do with that word in there, this conversation. It was translated in the King James as conversation. But when you study that word, it has to do with our citizenship. It has to do with our placement and the law and the authority that is over us. And as Christians, we still have that. We still have God as that law and as that authority over us. We become the children of God. So when we look at how we become these citizens of heaven, we have to realize that we're born citizens of earth by physical birth. We're born on the earth. And the same thing applies to being a child of heaven, a child of God. We are born again, as the Bible teaches, by a spiritual birth. As Christians, then, we have two births, right? We have our physical birth, which is what we see when we look at one another. We see the flesh. And we have a spiritual birth, a time that we were born of the Lord because of what Jesus has done. As the Bible declares it, that new man, the new creature, being born again. And we are born spiritually, and we have a spiritual life. Now, in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we find that we have an inheritance. The only way we can have an inheritance is to be an heir. And how do we become an heir of God? How do we become a child of God? And that is by spiritual birth, by accepting what Jesus Christ has done for us. In John chapter 3, verse 6 through 7, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. We find the flesh is flesh and the spirit is spirit. And as Christians, we have the privilege of having both. Amen? We get to live in the flesh. You think, well, I don't like that. I don't like the flesh. I'd rather just live in the spirit. Let me go. But you know what? God made us this way for a purpose and for a season, for a time. We are on planet Earth for a reason today. Otherwise, he'd just take us home as soon as we got saved. We have a purpose. We are here for a reason. We are to represent our King while we're here on Earth. We are to represent our King. Now, as citizens of heaven, we realize it's a kingdom of God. It's God's kingdom. And he is our King, as the Bible describes Jesus as King of kings, Lord of lords. He is our King as Christians. If Jesus is not your King, then you are not a Christian. You're not saved. You're not born again if Jesus Christ is not the Lord. So, if we are to represent our King, how do we do it? Well, the Bible describes us in 2 Corinthians 5:20 as ambassadors for Christ. Now then, because of who we are ambassadors. We have a purpose that is different than what was our purpose before we were saved, before we were born again. When we are living in the flesh, our focus is on the flesh and on the things of the world. But when we are born again, then our focus changes. Our focus comes to, see, what does Jesus want to do? What is my purpose here as a child of God? And it's not just ours only, but all through the Bible we find the faithful who have put themselves before holy, righteous God and say, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do on planet Earth? You know, we're to live on Earth in a manner that causes others to glorify our King. How we live today matters. One description in the Bible tells us that we are to let our light shine. Let our light shine. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our purpose of living today is that others may see the Lord or come to know the Lord. We are to represent our King. We're to live blamelessly, not to hinder the light. What good is the light that's covered up? What good is the light that's not lit? In darkness, what benefit is the light? Well, think about the darkness of this world and the light of Jesus Christ living through us, shining through us. What benefit would there be for us to shine as lights of our King? Of Jesus in a dark, dreary, sinful world. What an opportunity that he gives to us. Philippians 2, 14 and 15 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. If ever there was a time we lived in a perverse and crooked nation, we can see it today. In fact, we could spread that out into the world. Evil abounding today. People contrary to God. So we then as citizens of heaven, we then, as the children of God, have an awesome privilege, opportunity to live for the Lord. But everybody's against me. You know, we can read through the Bible and we can see a lot of that, can't we? We can see an awful lot of the few that stood for the Lord. And God took care of them. God blessed them. And the reason that we can do that is because this world is not our home. We are citizens of heaven. It's temporary, our home. But I don't plan on living in this flesh the rest of my eternity. Only as long as it lasts, or until the Lord takes me with Him. And you know what? We need to do what He's put us here to do while we're here. So the citizens of heaven should be easily identified on earth. The citizens of heaven should be easily identified on earth. Why? Because they aren't normal. Did you know that you as a Christian, you are not normal? I hope you're not normal. Because normal in this world is not a good thing. Look at this verse. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have a calling. When we receive Jesus Christ, when we are born again, when we become that new creature, that new creation that the Bible talks about, we have a purpose that we never had before. We have a God living in us that we did not have before. We have a hope of eternity and eternal life that we did not have before. We have a home in heaven that we did not have before. It kind of squelches the world and what the world can offer, doesn't it? Gee, should I compare all of the things of God and of heaven to the things of the earth? Wow. Is there even a comparison? No. But how much do we put value on the things of the world? And how much value do we put on the things of God? The Bible calls us a peculiar people. And that is because we should be different than the world, the things of the world, the way the world walks and talks and does. We should represent our Lord because we're citizens of heaven. Our citizenship in heaven, in my opinion, and I believe the Bible teaches, supersedes what we do here on earth. So we have our responsibilities here today as citizens of heaven, under the laws of God, operating as God instructs and guides us. But we also have our responsibilities as citizens of earth. What do we do because we are here on earth? How do we live? How do we walk? How do we respond? Well, let's turn into Romans chapter 13, because it's always been an issue with, well, God told me to do this, but my nation or my government authority over me says to do it this way. What does the Bible say? Romans chapter 13, the first 8 verses. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power thereof? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We find that we have a responsibility as citizens here on the earth. And citizens of heaven should be model citizens on earth because of God and the instruction that we have from God, but also because God is with us. We have the answers. We have the way we are to do things, when we're to do things, how we're to do things that God instructs us. But the Bible tells us here then that we are subject to the leaders of the land. And I've had people argue with this very point. And I go back to the Bible and I look at, well, let's look at some of the Old Testament individuals like Daniel, who was taken from his land to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar or by the king that was conquering at that time. And when you stop and realize, that king would not be in his position if God did not allow it. In fact, God said so. In fact, God pointed out the kingdoms that would line up to follow the Babylonian kingdom before they happened. And there would be individuals that God would rise up. And if you look and you read about Nebuchadnezzar and you read in Daniel what happened in Nebuchadnezzar's life, you'll see he was not following God. And he did not really have any plan to ever follow God. But what changed his life was a man who stood up and lived for God. And it changed him. Can that happen in our nation? I believe it can. And I believe it should. And it happens because those who walk by faith have a responsibility to pray. I can guarantee you, Daniel prayed for Nebuchadnezzar. You know he did. So then, as Daniel was subject to Nebuchadnezzar, he was also subject to Belshazzar, which was not a good leader, not a good king. He was also subject to Cyrus and Darius and others who came along afterwards. What did he do? Did he rebel and fight? No, he served the Lord until it came to the point where to obey the law of the land went contrary to serving the Lord. Because our citizenship in heaven is higher. Our relationship with God is first. But God knows that, and he gives us strength. Look at Paul. Paul was faithful to God, and yet the Romans was after him until they found out he was also a Roman citizen. And then they was a little concerned because the law that they were imposing upon him should not have been. We find ourselves then much like other believers in the Bible. There is someone over us in authority. But the Bible tells us and instructs us here in Romans how we're to deal with that. We must recognize that government is ordained of God. Wow. We look at some of the governments of the world and think, wow, how can that be? I don't understand it all. But the Bible says very clearly that God takes care of it. God puts it into perspective. God puts it out there for us. Some of the governments of the world, I think, wow, why? Why do those people have to go through that? You know, we have a lot of blessings in our nation still compared to a lot of other nations who are, I don't know how they survive. But we need to remember that the heart of the king is still in the hands of God. God is still God. And he is able to do whatever he wants to do with that individual. What if I don't like that person? What if I don't want to do what they say? Then talk to God about it. And ask God to give you the guidance and instruction that you need. There's always going to be people you don't like out there. There's always going to be people who go contrary to God out there. There's always going to be people who try to lead you away from God out there. We have a master at that that's called our enemy. Always trying to lead us the wrong way. The thing is, sometimes people in government choose to follow the enemy. And they listen to him and they become his tools. But God is still bigger than that. Amen? God is still God. So we must recognize that government is ordained of God, and we must honor those who enforce the law and keep the peace. There's a reason, and in our text that I just read, it talks about that. There's a reason we have law enforcement. And we need it. The Bible says to honor them. Do we honor them? But they're not perfect. Can you believe that? Have you ever seen anyone who is? But they make bad choices sometimes. Do we make bad choices sometimes? Wow. You know, what do we do with God's word here? What he tells us to do with it. Let him be God. How can I be a good citizen? The only way I can be a good citizen is to let God guide me. He really knows what's going on. Here's a favorite one. We're to pay taxes. Wow. Do I have to? I don't like where the money goes. The Bible says in verse 7, tribute to whom tribute is due. In fact, Jesus said that to his disciples when he asked them to show him a coin. Whose image is on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, render unto Caesar, therefore, the things that are Caesar, and unto God, the things that are God. It's a comparison of our worldly, our earthly citizenship, and our spiritual and our heavenly. Give to God the things of God. We're to show respect to leaders. Respect is something that I see dwindling greatly today. People have lost respect for almost everyone, including many of them themselves. The Bible continues in verse 7, says, custom and fear and honor. Is God big enough to deal with these situations? Absolutely. In our world today, there's all kinds of weird things going on, all kinds of worldly things going on. How do we deal with them? Who do we listen to? Who do we believe? The answer is very simple. Believe God. Listen to God. Follow what God says. But here's one of the most important. We're also to pray for those who have authority over us. I mentioned earlier Daniel praying. He was not the authority. There was an authority over him. But he also acknowledged that that authority over him had an ultimate authority that we all share. We all will be accountable to God. So we should pray for those that have authority over us. To make decisions for us. First Timothy 2, 1 through 3 says, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What does he tell us we should be praying for here? Supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks for all leaders. Do we do that? Do we pray? Are we giving thanks for the leaders? I hear a lot of grumbling about leaders out there. You probably do too. And some of them, I would agree, I think would be a lot better if somebody else was in their place. But you know what? Ultimately, I trust God. Can God use the wrong person? Well, he's been doing it since he made man. He's been using people that to accomplish his goal, to do what he needs done. He is God. And he's telling us to pray for them. I've said this over the years several times. If we would spend as much time praying for our leaders as we do grumbling about them, we'd be a lot more helpful to the things of God, to doing what God wants. If we would just live the way God wants us to, pray for them. Well, it doesn't seem like anything changes, though, does it? But you know what? God didn't say he was going to change it, although many times we see that change. He says, do it. It's hard to pray for somebody you don't really like. It's hard to pray for somebody. It's like, God, zap them. They're crazy. Why are they doing that? Why are they making those laws? You know, and we think, if I was in that position, I would. But you know what? You're not, and they are. What God has put you in the position of is praying for that person. Wow. And doing your civic duties when you are given the opportunity. Supplications, prayers, intercession of giving of thanks for leaders. The Bible then goes on to say in the rest of that verse, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. It's what God wants. It's what God accepts. So as citizens of earth, we have the responsibility, because we are citizens of heaven, to lift up the leadership on earth to the Lord. What a privilege that is. What an opportunity. What a power is given to us. And how often do we blow it off? Say, well, nothing's going to happen anyway. Do we really believe God is God? And the third point is, what do we do then when these responsibilities clash? I mentioned that there will be a time when that happens. Let's go into Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And also in chapter 5 and verse 29. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We find that there are times, and there comes times in our lives as Christians and in the history of Christians, that we have found that to serve God ends up contrary to the law of the land, or the in this particular case that we're looking at here, the Jewish law and the leaders that were there. You know, earthly authority sometimes oppose the work of God. It's happening right now in our world. It's happening right now in the United States. Many of you have heard that what California is trying to do out there with churches, trying to stop churches from gathering, trying to stop the Bible from being sold in California. Well, of course they're going to, because that's the world's way. The prince of this world is who? Satan. And those that follow him are going to go that direction. But what do we do about it? We stand up for God. We do what he says to do. And when there is a conflict, then we as Christians have to make a decision. Am I willing to die? Am I willing to stand in opposition and lose my life if need be? Or the life of someone I love, if need be, to serve God? How far am I willing to go to represent my God? You know, I don't want to think that way, Pastor. I don't want to have to deal with that. But you know what? We might have to. Because this world is not getting better, in case you haven't noticed. In fact, if you read the Bible, it's not going to get better until Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom. Of which, by the way, as believers, we're part of. As citizens. You know what? Paul said it best. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. But that's easy to say when you're not facing it yourself. When it's not your children out there that they're taking, or your life. Are you ready to stand for the Lord? If serving God opposes the land. We find in our text in Acts that the lame man at the temple, and I want to jump back there in chapter 3 of Acts, and let's look at that. This lame man who was healed at the temple. Acts chapter 3, 1 through 8. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This man, his life was changed because of a servant of Jesus Christ. Everyone should be rejoicing. Everyone should be happy. Everyone should say, praise God, look what just happened. But you know what? People aren't always like that, are they? What took place? The angry leaders demanded that the apostles stopped preaching Jesus. The religious leaders demanded them not to preach in the name of Jesus. But what about this man who was lame from birth, never ever walked? And immediately he was jumping around praising God on feet and ankles that had never walked. I get up sometimes and I'm stiff and I have a hard time walking. This guy had never used them. But now he's praising God. A miracle truly took place. But God was not glorified by the leaders of the land, the people there. In fact, Peter and John were rebuked and ordered to not speak about Jesus or use that name. What's going to happen when you're ordered to not use the name of Jesus anymore? In Acts 4:18, it says, And they called them. The leaders called Peter and John and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Acts 5:28, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? You think, well, that won't happen here. It's happening here, right now. In our world today. Don't talk about Jesus. You can talk about every other religious leader in the world, and that's fine. But not Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is a threat to the world system. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is eternal life in the name of Jesus. Of course they don't want Jesus to be out there. The enemy does not want Jesus to be lifted up. So we'll just pass laws that you can't talk about Jesus. Well, when they take away your Bible, that's a step. When they tell you you can't use your Bible, when they tell us we can't get together and assemble anymore, when they tell us these things, what are you going to do? The commission had already been given. The disciples had been commissioned to tell, to go out into the world and tell what they knew. They are citizens of heaven, going out into this world, talking about the King of Kings. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. After you have received the Holy Spirit, you are sent to the world with a purpose. Acts 5:32, Peter and John said, "We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." We are witnesses of Jesus Christ. What has he done in your life? Tell somebody about it. We find that there was a conflict here between the Christians and the leadership. And we find it didn't stop with just the Jewish law leadership, the religious leaders, but it went on over. And as you see Paul going up into Asia and into the Roman Empire at that time, we see there was conflict. And we see some of the Caesars and some of the things that they did to those who were called Christians. But they were willing to represent their king. Are you that willing? Are you ready? Well, you can't do it in your own power. It's not possible. But just like Peter and John said here, they had the Holy Spirit that God had given to them. And we as believers have the Holy Spirit given to us. And sometimes we don't know what to say. But when we need to say something, God will direct us. So we find that these men define the order of their citizenship responsibilities. Who do I obey? You know, all of us as Christians have to come to a realization that sometime in our life, what the Bible tells me to do is going to go contrary to the world system somewhere. What am I going to do? How am I going to deal with it? Are we going to obey God? Who is priority in your life? Who's first? Again, Peter and the other apostles define that in Acts 5:29 when they said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." When it comes to me obeying the law in the land or obeying God, I will give an account to God. I may have to give my life to the law of the land, but ultimately, it's given to the Lord to do what he says. And you know what? We all may come to that point at some time. And if not us, it might be the next generation. But I can tell you, God is big enough to deal with it. God knows what's going on. God has given us today, as believers, everything we need to deal with what's going on in our world today. Because he's God. You have a citizenship in heaven as a believer. You have a citizenship on earth. We are to be representatives of God, ambassadors for Christ. We are to be model citizens on earth, living for the Lord, blameless, representing the Lord. But there can and there most likely will come a time in your life where you have to make a decision and do what God says. Beware that God is with you to do that. He's able to help you with that. You're not in your own power. So let me ask you today, how are you representing Jesus as a citizen of heaven while you're living on earth today. How are we living for the Lord today? Here. During this time, this season. Are you committed to obeying God, whatever the cost? What is the cost? Well, the cost is varied depending on what God is pouring out. All through the Bible, we see that. But it ultimately comes back to us as individuals. What am I going to do? How am I going to respond? Well, many of us think, well, I can't really know until I'm in that situation. I don't really know what I would do. I know what I think I would do. But we can pray and ask the Lord to give me strength for the time, to make the right choices, to represent Him as an ambassador, to lead others to Him, to help those who need Him to come to know Him. Not everyone that calls himself a Christian is a Christian. Not everyone that says they live for the Lord, live for the Lord. But we can, through His power and with His power. And the purpose, the glory that will come from it, is when we stand together in the presence of the King of Kings, with the saints of all ages, and we praise and we worship. And the angels represent their Creator. And as citizens of heaven, we stand in the presence of an Almighty God. How does that compare with today? How does that compare with this world? There is no comparison. Keep your eyes in the right place. Keep your hearts in the right place. Look to that which is ahead. And realize God's already there. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. For you as believers. It's done. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise from God. And you know what? You're a citizen of heaven passing through this earth. You're here for a season. Though sometimes we think we're getting old. We think 100 years is really old. In the flesh, it might be. But in the spirit, 100 years hasn't even started. You're not even hardly born yet. You know? What a difference. Don't get so caught up in the world, in living in this world, that we forget who God is. Don't let the world drag us down to the darkness, to the level that they live in. Lift your eyes up and listen to who God is. Be who God has put you here to be. Who He's equipped you to be today. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, once again, thank You for Your love for us, Your patience with us. And Lord, as we acknowledge these things in Your Word, help us, Lord, to respond to You as an individual. Lord, there's lots of teachings, there's lots of thoughts, there's lots of ideas out there in our world today. But Lord, help us to realize the only ones that really matters is what comes from you. We're bombarded with all kinds of things. But you are the only one who really matters. Your way and what you desire is all that matters. Let us hear from you. Let us respond to you. Let us trust you with all of our heart. And let us not lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, Lord, let us acknowledge you as you direct that path before us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us and providing all that we need to be what we need to be for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Some music plays for a few.